About any guy, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, retired professor from Compton College, former city councilman for City of Compton, former school board member for the Compton Unified School District, and former board of trustees for Compton College, along with being a professor for 34 years in Africana Studies at Cal State University of Long Beach, and a professor of psychology, ethnic studies, and history at Compton Community College. Now, I want to welcome each and every one of you that is on tonight to discuss this very critical issue that we're dealing with that's more than likely going to spread. And how should we look at it? And what should we be preparing for? I want to thank Brother Rashiki Maskani, formerly Regal Moore, for putting forth this platform so that we can discuss critical issues in a round table setting of thinkers and people that work with people every day to discuss this critical issue. So, and along with my co-host, Brother Joe Hembrick, historian Joe, as he is rightfully known as, for his wealth of knowledge and experience as a longtime educator for Compton and Linwood Unified, where he was the first head black coach for football for Linwood Unified School District, and as well as a historian and a very informative person when it comes to working with young people throughout his career. So we want to go out and deal with the questions that are asked. You know, where is the level of consciousness you see, and what do you think we should be doing about the war? Go ahead, Mashinda.
Well, good evening. Well, it's like, you know, my take on it is, I mean, kind of picking up where you say where we left off, and I made some comments, I think, last time in terms of how I understand it. And I think a lot of people made some good contributions and how they see it. And, you know, I learned from listening. But, you know, I think it's just, you know, you talk about the consciousness. Literally, in my everyday life, outside of my immediate family, that I see on a regular basis, you know, so people in my household or, you know, that type of thing. No, absolutely nobody's talking about it. Literally, there's no conversation. And I have my take on why, you know, just like we're in the world down here. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, you're talking black people. You know, we got black, we know a lot of black folks where I'm at. You know, it's not, matter of fact, it's probably more black people where I'm at than in a lot of places. You know, I mean, in the city that I'm in, and, you know, and I'm not too far from New Orleans, which is a black city, you know, that kind of thing. So I just thought about a coworker. Now, she engages in conversation. So I take that back. You know, I forgot about her. She's somebody that I walk in and she follows Trump and she follows the war and different things. She likes to look at CNN and MSNBC for her news. And so she's not, I don't think she's, I think she's more of a kind of an information junkie, as you know, if you will. You know, she likes to see what's going on, kind of what's happening, what's going on. But as far as, you know, on a deep level, like what's really going on, and, you know, because, you know, it's, and it's a, as a result of some of the things she does or she, what things that she do not do in terms of that's not being done, you know, she kind of falls short. I'm not judging her, but, you know, again, she'll listen to the news, and, you know, that's what a lot of people do. They listen, they get on social media, they got Instagram, they have, all this instant information out there. And so everybody is competing for, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? So you get that from time to time, but as far as the level of consciousness and what, you know, and how they, and the discussion about what's going on, people aren't discussing that. They're not discussing Donald Trump either. You know, when I say Donald Trump, not that we have to talk about Trump every day, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of court cases going on with him, and people are flipping, and you know, and he's about to, you know, it's getting deep on his end. So I'm just saying they don't talk about that either. White folks, you know, I deal with white folks every day. I talk to white folks every day as well on the job, you know, and you know, they speak, but they don't sit around and have a discussion. Not with me, of course. You know, maybe amongst each other, they might, you know, have their little sidebars or what have you. But and we talk about different things, you know, we do. But I don't think there's that people, I think social media has given them you know, something else to think about. Everybody, like I said a long time ago on another podcast, you know, the media is competing for your time. Social media is competing for your time. You know, time is money. So if you can spend time at this website or become a subscriber or a like or a hit on a, you know, that's money being generated for them in many ways. So they're monetizing that. So people are all over the place. And so with that, you don't have the level of consciousness, you know, think tanks and you don't have, you know, now if you get on YouTube, they got all kind of brothers and sisters that have these kind of forums that what we're talking about. They go more in depth. They talk about certain things. I might not agree, whatever, but it is being talked about. But in my world, and I think in a lot of cases, I talk to people in California all the time. I talk to people in different places, and that's not their conversation. Hey, man, what do you think about you asked the question about the consciousness. What do you think about the war? You know, this is a long-standing, we know there's European dominance. It's been going on. I said it's the last call for alcohol, as far as, you know, I use that phraseology as far as trying to, you know, how I feel about it. They're understanding their place in the world is diminishing, and so they're trying to hang on. They're trying to hang on. They're trying to, you know, and the forces are closing in on them, you know, and so the Western world media that we get, they talk about China and Iran and Russia and all this and that, you know, that they're trying to close in on the United States, you know. So, you know, Rome fell, you know. So I'm hoping that the United States don't fall in my lifetime, because this is where I live, you know. So my father used to always tell me, as long as they don't come here, you know, we're talking about this little town, you know, because really nothing we can do about it. All we can do is stay conscious, stay, you know, spiritual, stay aware, and you know, and hopefully, you know, it'll work. Nature will work itself out, you know, to the good, you know, to where we won't get, you know, caught up. But we're living in some dangerous times. Like I said, I think we covered a little bit about the war last week, so I won't go in that in depth. But I know that in Israel, it's a possibility that it's about to get heated on another level. Who knows? They might broker a deal or some kind of ceasefire if they haven't did it already, you know, because they, you know, everything is, a lot of things are political. And so they'll say, oh, well, such and such, you know, stepped in and created a ceasefire, you know. So, you know, we got a presidential campaign coming up. So it's like, so anyway, but I have no more to add, if, unless you have a specific, another specific question that I can answer.
I'm gonna get back with you to another question.
Okay, good.
You'll go around, Brother E.
Okay.
What about with your generation? You're on mute, Brother E.
Yeah, it's talked about somewhat, not too much, not too much, not too much. They're just you know, kind of figuring out, you know, who this is, you know, not who to support, but you know, who's in the right, who's in the wrong. And I just tried to explain to them, you know, this is something that's been going on, you know, since, you know, a couple hundred years, I imagine, you know. And you know, it's biblical, you know, one person is you know, responding what it says in the Bible about the land, you know, being for Israel and stuff of that nature. So I'm just you know, kind of debating back and forth with them about, you know, about Hamas, you know, doing what they done, you know, to Israel, dropping, you know, all the chaos they created, in Israel, and actually, trying to figure out what's the end result for them. What are they trying to, what's their final goal? What was their goal in, attacking Israel? Where's their goal? What's their plan, for the people, that's stuck in, that's stuck, right now, so what's Hamas, what's their final plan for the people, stuck in the region right now? That's pretty much what my circle was talking about.
I'm gonna get back to you too. Brother
Okay.
Joe. Brother Joe, you the historian. What's going on? Are you hearing in your circles any discussions or any understanding of what's going on in the war?
No, not really, brother, and really don't care to. In my opinion, that's not our concern. We need to be concerned about what's happening in our own motherland instead of somebody else's, although that was a colony of Africa at one time. The thing that strikes me kind of propagandish is about the bombing of this hospital. Now the Western world trying to say it was a Hamas missile that misfired. Well, they didn't misfire when they was bombing Israel. They wasn't misfiring then. But these Israelis been bombing Palestinian stuff forever. This is nothing new, and they always try to put it on the Palestinians. But haven't really talked to anybody about it. I'm not out there in the workforce, so ain't too many people I talk to, and especially the Christians on. I haven't even talked to any of them regarding that. Just
Well,
to
okay, I'll get back to you too. I mean, in general, I'm asking another question. Rashiki.
Well, not too many people are talking about it. They're kind of localized. I know my wife mentioned it once. It's a lady at work that I sent the videos to. She's interested, but not too many people. I like Brother Mashinda was saying, I think a lot of people are caught up in social media and trying to make money. We're in a situation where, we have to work, and some people can't multitask. They're not able to multitask, and then they probably don't really care. And that's an issue. I think you brought up some points about it could spread, and if it do spread, will it be like another World War One or two, where it's basically on foreign land, or will it come eventually to the United States? So there's a lot of things that could happen. But my major concern is the thought process of people, and of course, you don't want to be bombed by anybody. And with this conflict, it goes back to 48 specifically. And then last week we had a few people said it started in the 1800s. And there's information that's being laid out for people to have a greater understanding of what's going on. But when will some of these men that's having the issues of the power grab, when will they realize that killing another human being is not rational for the purpose of dominance, power, and all of that? I mean, it's not, the mentality is just, it's so barbaric. It's just it's just these, I don't know if these men could ever fathom righteousness or a sense of sharing. So it's really a diabolical thinking. that's persisting. And of course, I said this before, when you back that many people into a little small space and don't think you're going to get any pushback, it's not even, you know, doesn't make sense. So it's just a unfortunate situation. And we all know, and we talk about these people and how they are. And then if you speak to other people, like some friends of mine that's in the Bible, they talk about how Black people have been warring and warring, you know, and been, they try to say that Black people have been like this, and it's just byproducts. So it's a little out there in the thinking of just why people can't be rational. It's just, we're dealing with irrational beings. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I think that there's been some destructive behavior among Africans and African Americans, you know, gang warfare, as well as on the continent, ethnic conflicts, you know, and that's been a historical thing, but it's been upgraded from them fighting each other to them killing each other, because the European provides them guns and weapons. Africa don't make no guns, and we as Black people don't make them, even though some may be making those ghost guns now and 3D guns, but for the most part, we don't have gun factories and military factories. We don't have jets and submarines and missiles and stuff that the Europeans are using. It's a very important perspective. One, when the country you live in is at war, it affects you directly and indirectly, you know, because they're using resources to finance the war. And that money could be used for homeless, that money could be used for employment, that money could be used for health and other issues, rather than, as Rashi Key say, bombing and militarism. That's why Martin Luther King's moral position on the Vietnam War was, you know, you can't bomb your way into peace. You can't. In the absence of justice creates a struggle and things of this nature. But yeah, I think Joe can remember when 1972, 71, we had to line up to get gas, 70 and 71. When the Arabs cut off oil, we had to go on odd days, and then you only could get 5 gallons, and then it was fist fights, you know, and it wasn't even a hot war at that time for a certain degree. But at the same time, we as people must prepare for the unexpected. And we're not doing that. I mean, many of us, like you said, if it's not directly affecting me right now, I don't care. But eventually it will affect you. Food and groceries are going to go up, because in the midst of a war, all prices go up. You see what I'm saying? Second, that there'll be other people, sympathizers and lone wolves of bombing and doing things. That's a part of the, that's what happened in Boston, those Arabs that did the marathon. There was a couple of the bombing of the social workers down in San Bernardino that time, and they killed the Arab. It creates a hostility. That's why America is trying to say we don't want it to spread. But there would be no Israel if it wasn't for America. They're Europeans claiming to be Jews. And it's the same thing using religion, as Joe would say. That's how this country was built. Manifest destiny. This is God wants us to have this. So let's kill the Indians and take it. And that's what happened in Palestine. You understand? The white people going over there saying, we Jews and we're from a war where white people were killing white people. And so they, at one time, 1932 to 1948, they got along. They lived together. The Palestinians let them in as guests. And then they wanted to put their flag up. And then America started saying, hey, we need a white interest over here. You know, ain't no Europeans. All you do is look at the map. Ain't no Europeans supposed to be over there in that area. That's Arab or African. That's all it is. An Arab is just an Asian and an African that mixed. You understand? And they came from the Caucasoid Mountains or migrated back over in that area. But at the same time, that's how Russia took over Asia. You know, them white people. You know, they all come from Europe, the Caucasoid Mountains. And they all have the same mentality. We have rule or we'll burn it down or we'll tear it down. That's what you see in Congress today. You know, they're winning because as long as the government ain't functioning, those that want to destroy the government in favor of Trump or whatever ideology they have, as long as they ain't got no leader, it's going to lead to chaos because of the role of Congress in appropriations. So they say, hey, look, we don't need no leader. If we can keep a leader out of here, and then you can't bring no legislation, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect everybody. You understand? The same thing with this war. If it spreads, if Iran get involved, if Lebanon get involved, and things of this nature, and Israel, and Israel would not exist. Israel is a welfare state. America not only gives it all the weapons that they have. You see, they don't give Ukraine them big the weapons that they give Israel. And Israel is just a military base. This is just a speck. If you look at the map, it's just a little speck in that area. And where do you white folks come from? Yeah, and where is Zionism? Zionism was declared racism along with apartheid that was instituted by white folk, as well as Euro-American racism that's here in Europe and wherever white folks is. They invented it and they created it for their dominance, white supremacy. And so here they are killing innocent people over, like when that white man went in there and killed those people in the church, they called for peace. They called for reconciliation. They even got black people that was in the church saying, we forgive the white boy for coming in here killing us. You understand? Well, where's that with them? You understand? If you read the First Testament, they have an eye for an eye. And then Gandhi and other black people say, well, if everybody did an eye for an eye, we'd all be blind. And then here they are. Then when Jesus came, or supposed to be a Jesus, and it may have been a philosopher who called himself Jesus and God's son. And there were 16 saviors before Jesus, according to John G. Jackson in his book, The Introduction to African Civilization. There were 16 saviors. There was over 200 women who said they had babies by immaculate conception. You understand? And he named every one of the saviors all over the world in his book. And so the point is that these Europeans use religion as a shield to justify world dominance. Why do you think the Catholic Pope ain't said nothing? Why hasn't he taken a position on, as you said, bombing humans, killing them? Why? You know, and then they're firing professors and want to shut down schools who's having demonstrations supporting the Palestinians, threatening to fire people from their jobs if they don't swear allegiance. You know, every congressman that elected have to sign, the Israeli lobbyists have them sign a commitment to support Israel no matter what. Every one of them. And every one of them have to take a trip. And just before the war broke out recently, Hakeem Jeffries was in Israel, as well as Cory Booker. Maxine Waters had to go because they give so much money. And what this is doing is exposing them. through their brutality. Palestinians are taking a beating, but now they're discussing them having a homeland. They were off the map. Nobody was even discussing the brutality except for conscious people. But now people are seeing how brutal and how vicious Israel is, bombing kids, hospitals, schools, telling the people to go south, bombing them on the way to the south, and then won't let food, water, and clothing in. There's some people that are paying attention and discussing this. Now, many of us as African Americans aren't, because we say if it ain't affecting us, one, that's one reason. As Joe say, it ain't affecting us. We got to worry about what we got going to eat tomorrow. We got to worry about homelessness. We got to worry about car notes and rent and our kids going to school and things of this nature. And that's what, you know, you get complacent, you get comfortable in your oppression, and you get to thinking everything is secure. But look what's going on, the challenge to this system. And as Mashinda and Mashinda said, you know, great civilizations come up and they go down, everyone. You understand that, you know, you go throughout history, they go up and they come down. And here you are, a man that's indicted with 90 charges, is the leading contender to be a representative of a law and order advocacy, which is a lie. And so they have you thinking the Palestinians is wrong. But as Mashinda was saying, this is a continuation of a struggle against oppression. They have people thinking, oh, this is about people hate being anti-Semitic. People don't want Israel to exist. You already exist. They're trying to, you're the one that's pinning people up. You're the one that's bombing people. You're the one that got them people in the open air prison. You're the one that's denying them water and even fuel so they could have a hospital. You're the one doing that. And we got to remember, over 1,000, close to 500 or so Israelis took over the Washington, D.C., the congressional offices, and 300 of them was arrested, asking for peace, saying that, that's not Judaism, but Menachem Begin and all of them are doing. And you have other people, the United Nations, America's Secretary of Defense, or whatever his name is, who he says his parents were grandparents were part of the Holocaust, was in front of the United Nations talking about he wanted the United Nations to condemn Hamas. Hamas is not a terrorist group. It's a government. It's a political structure. You understand? And like they say, collective punishment. If the people didn't overthrow them, we're going to punish the people. You see, that's what Israel is saying. I call it oppressor. You know, to me, there's some good Europeans. Don't get me wrong. There's some that people marry, people be with. We ain't talking about them. We ain't talking about Europeans that, for whatever reason, is indifferent. And we ain't talking about Europeans that work with other Black people for their liberation during the abolitionists and things of that nature. We're not talking about them. We talking about the ruling class. You understand? And so, the critical thing is, are we preparing, even if it never happened, should you keep gas in your car full? Should you keep perishable food with you or in your house just in case it gets funky? Second, should you speak out against the genocide? And how can you speak out against the genocide? Are you just going to watch it? You know, are you just going to say, oh, it ain't me, so I don't care if they killed each other? Well, that's when they come and get you. After they finish, killers kill. That's what they do. Oppressors oppress. Biden never sent troops down to make sure black people could vote in those gerrymandering states in the South. He never sent it. They never financed peace treaties when the Crips and the Bloods were trying to come together in peace right after LA 92. But at the same time, they gave billions of dollars to Russia to solve their conflict that was happening when they was breaking up. And I just want you to understand the seriousness of your consciousness. Yeah, of the majority of our people, even my family members, they're not thinking about the war and things of this nature until it affects them. But you got to be prepared before then, our sense of consciousness and things of that nature. So the challenge is one in which, how do we deal with this? I mean, there are people speaking out as Machinda pointed out, on various stations, YouTube. They've already shut down any progressive news, and you haven't heard nothing from the Black Caucus except for the squad, and they wanted to expel them out of Congress, them Arab sisters as Congress people, for pointing out the atrocities. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people being murdered and massacred. And you, as Joe would say, you're supposed to be religious. You know, you going to church every Sunday, giving the ministers your money. While this is going on and your minister ain't even talking about it. You understand? And from a moral standpoint, what would King do? What would Malcolm? Malcolm said, this system will have you thinking the victim is the criminal and the criminal is the victim. You know, the victim is the criminal and the criminal is a victim. Now here you are applauding and thinking, taking the European position that these are terrorists, using keywords, terrorists, even equating the struggle in Israel with regards to Hamas attacking them. And, you know, they're supposed to be so secure. Just like this country's supposed to be so secure. And you know, mighty. They had the best electronics, they had a big wall. You know, they got comfortable. But people, where there's injustice, there ain't gonna be no peace. You've been killing their leaders, assassinating them all around the world. Even a blind man in a wheelchair, you had a drone shoot. Yeah, talking about he was a leader. Bombing every place, claiming that they're using human shields. They sacrificing their own people, so we got to kill the people to get to them. No, it's hard to speak out because you get condemned and you get challenged. I see where Farrakhan is suing the Defamation League, Arab Defamation League. For saying he was anti-Semitic, he's asking for $5 billion. I saw that article, but at the same time, struggle is continuous. Malcolm said this. I mean, you know, when he was talking about the Vietnam War, when he was talking about the morality of human beings caring about what's going on in the world, and like Machinda pointed out, and Brother E, there's so much distraction. People going to ball games like ain't nothing going on. And somebody could blow up the stadium or blow up a portion of the stadium while you sitting up in there watching people play sports. You got to pay attention to what's going on. That's my position. So, Machinda, what's your point of perspective about our preparation in case this war spread and it affects the economy of America? You there, Machinda? You on mute. All right, Brother E. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, what's your perspective on this?
Well, I can see it affecting our daily lives. for example, okay, gotta bring a little different twist in it. Okay, say we go at it with China, we try to stick up for Taiwan, and China, we get in that conflict with China. Okay, now we get in that conflict with China, we gotta realize all this stuff that's produced in China, as far as, our medicals and clothing and a lot of things is produced there. Okay, so if we have it and they cut us off, that's cutting off a lot of our population, with the medicine that's not gonna come in. And so therefore we're gonna be relying on, different things to do to, to surpass the time to keep surviving. So amongst that time, I guess, people start fighting amongst each other, So that's one aspect of, it. And, China with their nuclears, I know they have the, to hit any city, in the U.S. that they feel they choose to, when that time go down, so how will we at that time be able to gather, with no communications?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to factor into the situation.
And that's a good point. But see, there's a Cold War and there's a hot war. Israel is in a hot war with Hamas right now. America is in a hot war. America financed all of Israel, not just war material and weapons, but gives them over $50 billion annually to operate their economy. So, if America wanted Israel to let them people have fuel and let them people get food and clothing, all they had to do is say, Israel, get out the way. Because they control Israel. Israel is not an independent state. People want to believe that. Israel is an American colony of white people. And they don't want to, you don't want to see that, because most people want to act like they're part of the Bible and part of, that's not the biblical Israel. You understand? The biblical Israel was not in Palestine. You understand? If there ever was a biblical Israel, that's what God gave us, supposed to be in the Bible. A man who was fighting with God, he said, I'm going to name you Israel. You understand? Jacob was one of them. But the point is that, the lack of, as Joe would say, the relevancy of history. History is now as well as yesterday and the years before, and lessons. And I admit that America knows how to seduce people, distract people, but it's falling apart politically and it's falling apart militarily
and structurally
and structurally, in Compton every other street is a pothole, a whole pothole for the street. There's a lot of things that first of all, everybody on this earth should have the right to go and live wherever they want. As long if they want to go to another country or something, I don't mind people saying that you got to pass a health screen and things of that nature. But that should be one of the only things. Second, that, hopefully you have a place to stay and don't be staying, Well, if you have universal housing, everybody can at least have shelter, indoor shelter. And access to food. But, the European just want 3% of the people to own everything. Why do you think Trump is getting away with all what he's getting away with? Because he's rich. How many of us got enough money to appeal everything that, if the judge just say hello, he can appeal it? That kind of money. I remember in my case, the court attorney came and said, you can beat this case, you go to the Supreme Court. because you know they violated the law by saying that when you what they call it, they made it a general intent crime, meaning that there's no excuse. And then they denied us the right to call witnesses that did the same thing we did. And they ruled out any information that showed that the city of Compton allowed what we did. And they said, even if they did do it, it was a crime and we're going to stop it. So they stopped the charge on badge program and they made them give up all the credit cards. But before that, they were doing it. You understand? Charge on badge was there when I got there. Credit cards, I just got there. You understand? And so, but they ruled it that you can't pay the money back. Even if the city manager approved your expenditures, they arrested the city manager. Even though we were a chartered city. A chartered city means you're your own government. And but the point is that, you know, it's so hypocritical. But everybody believed that I did that stuff. Why would I risk my family and my my career for a credit card expenditure? You understand? It don't even make sense. You know? And let me give you an example. The city manager, before our city manager, if you go back in the newspaper, when he retired, he was able to buy the car he was driving, which was a new car that year. The city bought him. The city bought the car, but it was the city's car. It was in the city's name, and he had a city license plate and all that. But when he got ready to leave, he wanted to get the car. You know what they charged him for a brand new car? A penny. That's all he had to pay. And they voted on it, and he drove off with it. The same deputy district attorney who they said we used the credit card for things that we shouldn't have. The deputy district attorney who just became mayor after Omar, he bought dinners and everything. The judge said, you can't bring up his name. You can't bring up his credit card. We only dealing with y'all. What they call discretionary prosecution. You understand? We had a city attorney who, for a gift, we went to what they call the Congressional Caucus weekend. He gave his ticket, not on his airplane ticket, but they buy a bunch of tickets to dinners and all that type of stuff. And gave all them tickets to his secretary for her birthday. Under what the judge was saying, oh, that was illegal. But they just charged me and Omar and the city council, the city manager, and the city, and the women. What I'm trying to say is that in Higginbotham's book, the first thing an oppressor do is when he invades a land or want to criminalize somebody, is he makes up the laws. He determines what's right and wrong. What's right and wrong. And that's what's going on right now, whereas most people don't even think about what's going on in Palestine. And that's just like people not thinking about for hundreds of years what's going on in America with us enslaved. I mean, they didn't have the communications you have today about what was going on, but the European knew what he was doing. So those are the things that we have to look at from that standpoint. Brother Mashinda, you back yet? Brother Rashki?
I'm back.
Okay, go ahead, brother. You know, and so I'm just saying the preparation for, we already in World War. You know, you're fighting in Ukraine, you're fighting in Africa, you're fighting in over there in the Middle East, and it involved one man, as Malcolm was saying. Wherever you go where there's a war, there's one man either financing it or either participating in it. Got troops in Africa. For what? To protect their interests. Why Israel exists? To protect America's oil interests in over there. And to have a weapon depot over there. Right. That's the only reason they exist. Yes, then you don't hear nobody importing anything from Israel here. You don't have them with no major crops. You don't have them with nothing that you can say made in Israel. They got a little Uzi gun that made in Israel, but by who? Who made it? You understand? And who helped them design it? How come they got a nuclear bomb? You understand? So these are the issues that we're faced with as a people. But preparation for unexpected things. Why you tell your wife or your kids, drive careful, because things could come up. You know, use your money wisely, because things could come up. And it's a challenge for us as a people to teach our children and to have these discussions. And you know, it's hard to, you know, to educate your children or people around you to what's going on, because you don't want them going to school saying something and getting punished for it. But you got to also train them that we are a key people in a key place. And we have to operate as if we're in a covert war and a covert struggle. I mean, you think that those police officers would have got arrested for George Floyd if they didn't have a young girl, 17, I think she was, videoing it? You understand? Or Michael Brown, hands up. You know, in Ferguson, if there wasn't a video. You know, think about all the Black people that got killed without the video. Rodney King. It was a white man, Holiday, that videoed it. And they ended up arresting him and sending him to jail. I just want you to understand how this system works. What it exposes is that there's no difference, as Malcolm said, between a Democrat and a Republican. Said they both are dogs. One's a wolf and one's a fox. Biden's a fox, and Menachem Begin is a wolf. And they both belong to the dog family, and they both canine. And, you know, that's what Malcolm said. You understand now? And when we come to voting, we may have to vote for one of them. You understand? Because, I mean, you know, you got to vote your interests and those that you can do continue your struggle with as much as you can without being totally wiped out. They won't even let people criticize Israel because they say it's anti-Semitism. You're a Jew hater. We don't even know one white man from the other. You understand? You know, it exposed all the news commentators as that had to come out and say, I'm Jewish. You know? The situation mean, man, all of them, the women, they taking over the media. And people just say, oh, I accept their word. And they play on you. They play on you and play on you. And, you know, for those that don't study, as Joe would say, and don't read, and don't understand the struggle. Joe, you have anything to comment on?
Yeah, just a couple points. One, I'd like to start off by quoting some from Dr. Clark. You know, Europeans have always wanted things other people had, thought they couldn't do without and they don't want to pay for. Now, as far as land domination, prior to them coming into existence, that boundary stuff and all that stuff did not even exist. I know the Native Americans, when a white man come over here talking about owning land, they're talking about how can you own something that belonged to God? These Europeans created the boundaries of different places. And as a result of these boundaries, you get conflict, wars amongst themselves, and wars amongst others. And I just like to mention, for those who do not know, more people have been killed behind religion than all wars combined. You got the Irish, Christians, and Catholics going at each other. You had the Crusade. They wiped out the Caribbean, the Spanish Inquisition. Folks, if you didn't want to be no Christian, you got burned at the stake and all that. And this stuff goes on and on and on. But what we can do to get prepared, one, you better make sure you got some water. So many 5 gallon waters of spark that stacked up my living room. It's like furniture. And food, I'm growing my own. I'm growing so much food, people in the neighborhood want me to set up a vegetable stand, but I just give away. And our health, we need to think about that stuff and work on it. But what war brings about, if you need an appliance, let's say you need a hot water heater or dryer or something like that, they be tripling and quadrupling the prices on those items, you know, during time of war. They do that all the time. And Brother Raw, I was in the gas crisis back in the early 70s. I was driving a little Volkswagen at the time, so it didn't affect me too much. You drive one on a gallon of gas in a Volkswagen back in the day. But the Europeans, you got to understand what a European is. And I would just tell people about the conflict with Russia. I said, what you must understand is Russians is white folks. They, in the media, they got us as our enemy and all this and that. But they don't ever do nothing to them. Neither one of them do nothing to the other one. It's like when they dropped that bomb on Japan. Because the Japanese wasn't white. If you remember the war, it was Germany that was doing all the stuff. So why drop it on them? Because they white folks. So anyway, we're, like I say all the time, we're behind enemy lines. We need to make sure we got our stuff tight and prepared for what's to come. And, our families won't be starving. We were down south, everybody was growing their own stuff. They didn't have to worry about that kind of stuff. But these people, these Israelis are starving these Palestinians. I saw about 100 trucks lined up outside of Egypt trying to get into Gaza, and they only let 20 of them in. And the folks that got bombed in Israel, I bet they got provisions. And they got these commercials, if you watch them, most of them is late at night, about these Jews are starving and all that in Israel. That's the biggest crock in the world. Them folks got plenty of food, plenty of everything, because it's financed by, guess who? The U.S. of A. So we need to wake up to what's really going on. But like I say, most folks is just trying to make it. And like you said earlier, the pastors ain't talking about it, other than the fact that the Bible say that land is theirs, which the ones who claim it is theirs is the one who wrote the Bible in the first place, so they can say whatever they want to say. And that's been changed so many times. That has a history, too. You need to look at the history of that book, because after they wrote the book, they didn't have Genesis. You know, Genesis was the last book to be written in the Bible so that they could justify all that stuff that they had been saying earlier. So they had to write Genesis after the book was completed to make that chapter. Anyway.
That's a good point, brother. We're going to have you on to talk about that Bible, brother.
You already talked about it. You're going to get me killed.
No. Just the Nicene Conference and the various books that was left out, you know.
And also, with the Arab brothers and sisters, hell, the same thing they're doing to the Palestinians in North Africa, they're doing it to Africans. Same damn thing. All the way across from Egypt to Mauritania, the same stuff going on. And down south, those Boers and British are doing it down in South Africa. Same thing. So like I said, you know, we can be conscious of what's going on with these Palestinians, but we need to, you know, keep in mind what's going on with our own stuff. And just like I've been saying before, you know, we need a mile thing. Stop all this grandstanding and parading and marching, do some secretive stuff, you know, to bring something to folks' mind. But like I say, you know, we so caught up in drinking one brand of Kool-Aid versus the other that we can't see none of that. Whether it's cherry or grape, still Kool-Aid. Just like you mentioned about John Jackson's book. It's another one. I forget the guy's name. Kersey Graves wrote it also. Gerald Massey wrote it also. And I would say this to, and I don't, you know, church, if it gives you a spiritual uplift, fine. But study the history of your people. And a lot of them ain't even studying the book that they claim is the truth. Well, if it is, let's see if it stands up against other works that have been written. And Brother Rob, when he was talking about if that Jesus existed, that brother that lived during that time was Joshua Ben Pandera. Fought the system and all of that. So they took his life along with some other European Serapis stuff. But anyway, I'm going to leave it alone. But
it's too late now, brother. You on tape. All right, Roger Key, what's going on next week?
Here we go. Well, we got tomorrow, Ra.
Yeah, tomorrow.
We got one of my colleagues, Big G. Big G is also a musician too, but he works in the auto department. So he's going to talk about electric cars. Get some information about electric cars.
Yeah, they're talking about in San Francisco, driverless car.
Oh, man.
Killing people.
That's something that I don't think I would want to do.
Yeah. Well, no. But the new generation will do it.
Yeah, well. I'm gonna have to just stay at home.
Yeah, they got taxi cabs already, driverless taxi cab.
Yeah.
On that, but I'm gonna wait till tomorrow because Tesla got the plantation going on for real.
Yeah.
Where they treat black people. It's just steadily ridiculous.
What about you next week, Ron?
I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take the pause. Each one teach one, conscious corner. Everybody have a good one.
All right.